Dr. Pinsky dictating a male IME on Edward Soldin, S-O-L-D-Y-N. Edward Soldin is a 70-year-old male who reports he was injured at work on 6-1-23. But at that time, he fell at Caesar's Wild Wild West Sportsbook. As a result, he believes he injured his head, comma, back, comma, and right elbow. But he was seen at the emergency room the same day. Paired with this and subsequent evaluation, he understands his final diagnosis to be a brain bleed, comma, head trauma, comma, back pain, comma, and elbow pain. Paired, he did not undergo any surgery in this matter. Paired, he denies having any injections on the lumbar spine. Paired, he's no longer receiving any active treatment. Paired, he volunteered that in September 2022, he had back pain for which he went to the hospital. Paired, he did not specify what precipitated his back pain, if anything. Paired. As per his claim petition, Mr. Soldin alleges he fell when a walker seat broke on 6-1-23, resulting in injuries to the head and back. Good medical records show he was seen at AtlantiCare Regional Medical Center City Campus on 6-2-23, period. They noted he had a history of coronary artery disease, status post coronary artery bypass grafting, and percutaneous procedure on Plavix. Period, he had a history of hypertension, comma, dyslipidemia, comma, insulin requiring diabetes mellitus, comma, stage 3 chronic kidney disease, comma, anxiety, comma, obstructive sleep apnea on CPAP, who was admitted under the trauma service with a subdural hematoma after he fell at work. Period. He was being consulted by Dr. Ali, A-L-I, on this occasion. Period. Diagnosed traumatic subdural hemorrhage, comma, geriatric assessment, comma, type 2 diabetes mellitus without complication, period. He recommended management as per the neurosurgery recommendation, period. The actual first visit at this facility was on 6-1-23. When also seen by Dr. Ali, period, he stated he was trying to get into a seated walker and it broke. But he now complained of lower back pain and dizziness. Period. He had cardiac stents in November 2020 with CABG times 2 on 7-11-20T2. Period. He presents as a ground level transfer from ARMC Mainland Division, ER, after a fall at work from his rolling walker seat, resulting in subdural hematoma. Period. This occurred approximately 6:30 that evening. Period. He fell backwards, striking the back of his head twice on the carpeted over concrete flooring. Period. He denied loss of consciousness. Period. At the Mainland Emergency Room, he was given labetalol intravenously, period. He had a history of numerous medical problems, period. Some of them included hypertension, comma, GERD, comma, heart failure, comma, morbid obesity, comma, obstructive sleep apnea, comma, respiratory failure with hypoxia, comma, and left bundle branch block, period, on this occasion. He had a blood pressure reading that I cannot find, period. He was seen by Dr. Ali on 6/2/23, as just noted above, period. The consultation on 6/2/23 also noted diagnoses of status post-fall with multiple trauma, including traumatic brain injury, parentheses, right subdural hematoma, close parentheses, period. He was on Keppra for seizure prophylaxis. And with status post, CABG and PCI angioplasty, period. New paragraph. Neurosurgical consultation was performed by Dr. De La Soda on 6/26/23, period. He noted at the emergency room he had CAT scans of the cervical spine, comma, chest, comma, abdomen, and pelvis. They revealed no evidence of acute traumatic injury. Paired CAT scan of the head revealed a small amount of acute subdural hemorrhage along the right side of the falx, F-A-L-X. Paired due to those findings, he was transferred to the trauma surface at Atlantic City campus. Paired, he was admitted under the neurosurgeon by Dr. Stidd, S-T-I-D-D. But he was neurologically stable and discharged home on 6/3/23. Period. He was seen in a follow-up clinic visit on 6/6/23 and had continued fatigue, intermittent dizziness, and intermittent headaches since the time of the fall. Period. He was referred to neurology for work clearance. Period. He currently complains of minor headaches in the frontal and occipital region. Pretty feels dizzy when he gets up from a seated or laying position. Pretty's family has noticed his stuttering. Pretty walks with an unsteady gait and had low back pain at the level of 8/10. Period. In addition to the aforementioned cardiac surgeries, he had 6 foot surgeries. Pretty quit smoking 20 years ago. Period. His BMI was 47.76, consistent with morbid obesity. Period. He described his... Scratch that. CAT scan of the head on 6/1/23 revealed... small amount of acute subdural hematoma along the right side of the falx. Period. He had CAT scan of the chest, abdomen, and pelvis that showed no evidence of acute trauma. Period. He had a right lower lobe pulmonary nodule for which follow-up CAT scan in 6 months was recommended. But he also had a left adrenal gland mass containing a tiny focus of fat attenuation that was probably myelolipoma. Period. MRI was recommended. Period. He also had a cystic lesion in the body of the pancreas for which a follow-up MRI was recommended in 1 year. Period. There was a wide mouth ventral hernia containing gastric antrum but no obstruction. Period. He... at the conclusion of his exam by Dr. De La Soda, he diagnosed traumatic brain injury with a subdural hematoma as well as lumbalgia. Brady recommended Repeat CT of the head, comma, EEG, comma, and MRI of the lumbar spine, period. On 10/25/23, Dr. De La Soda noted the results of a lumbar MRI from 7/19/23. Period 03-4, there were not modic type degenerative end plate changes. Period parentheses, this looks like a typographical error, close parentheses. Edema also involves the posterior inferior L3 vertebral body and is also likely secondary to an edematous Schmerl's node and or degenerative changes. Period, there was signal abnormality in the right subarticular zone measuring up to 1.4 centimeters and is most consistent with the disc herniation, which narrows the right subarticular zone. There was also mild central canal and right foraminal stenosis. He also described a CAT scan of the head on 7/19/23, showed interval resolution of the parafalcine subdural hematoma. There was no acute intracranial hemorrhage or intracranial mass effect. On what should go under the lumbar spine study, at 04-5, there was mild bilateral foraminal stenosis. Period at 05-S1, there was mild to moderate bilateral foraminal stenosis. Period, there was no significant central canal stenosis at these levels. Period, an EEG on 7/28/23 was abnormal, consistent with diffuse cerebral dysfunction with associated medication effect. Period. He was neurologically intact, and straight leg raise maneuver was negative. He had restricted range of motion in the lower back in all directions. He was continued to stay active with a home exercise program, as well as weight loss. From a neurosurgical perspective, he was at maximum medical improvement. He had returned to work. New paragraph on 11/21/23, he was seen at Shore, S-H-O-R-E, Medical Center, period. He stated he had been feeling dizzy on and off for months, associated the previous evening with dysarthria. This raised concern for a TIA. He was well appearing with a non-focal exam, and CT was negative at that time. However, he would require further observation. It was noted MRI of the brain showed no acute intracranial abnormality. MRA of the neck with and without contrast showed no significant stenosis. Numerous laboratory studies were done. His MRA of the brain was within normal limits. He was hospitalized through 11/23/23, and he was discharged. Chest X-ray showed no active pulmonary disease. During hospitalization, he had serial laboratory studies performed. He suffered from hypertension, but in the hospital experienced hypotension. He had chronic neuropathy from his diabetes. He also had a fall in June with a brain bleed that did not require surgical intervention. He also complained of unsteady gait and feeling like he was passing out and incontinence of urine for 2 days. His diagnostic list included hypoglycemia, new onset urinary incontinence, coronary artery disease, comma, hypertension, comma, candidiasis, comma, and chronic kidney disease, period. With discharge, he was to follow up with a nephrologist and neurology, period. He did undergo a CAT scan of the head on 11-21-23, period. He had a transthoracic echocardiogram on 11-22-23, period. It showed normal left ventricular cavity size with an estimated ejection fraction between 51 and 55%. Period. There was grossly normal right ventricular size and function, where there was no gross mitral or aortic valvular pathology noted. Period. EKG showed sinus rhythm, comma, ventricular premature complex, comma, prolonged PR interval, comma, right bundle branch block and left anterior fibular block with baseline wandering in lead V3, comma, V4, comma, and V5. Period. He had a physical therapy evaluation at NovaCare on 8-4-23, period. New paragraph, earlier records show he was seen by pain specialist Dr. PRYZBYLKOWSKI on 10-5-22. Period. He complained of a lower back pain on the left and the right side, radiating to the left hip and into both lower extremities. Period. He had restricted range of motion and a pain level of 9/10, period. Dr. Przybylkowski rendered diagnoses of clinical lumbar radiculopathy, comma, lumbar spinal stenosis, comma, and muscle spasm. Period. Since he was on blood thinners and Plavix, there was no interventional pain management at that time. Period. He did return on 11-1-22, period. He wrote his MRI showed severe spinal stenosis, where they would manage his complaints with medications moving forward until he is off blood thinners. Period. His cardiologist told him he could be off Plavix for 5 days. Period. And capitalize this. This is non-negotiable. I need permission per ASRA guidelines to hold Plavix for 7 days, not 5. Period. That facility is the one where he worked. Period. He was reporting relief with gabapentin that was going to be increased to 300 milligrams 3 times per day, but he was using Percocet sparingly with no refills needed for today. Period. He offered additional diagnoses of disc bulging at L4-5 and L5-S1, as well as disc herniation at L3-4 from MRI, but there was also lumbar spinal stenosis. Period. Treatment was going to be palliative. Period. His Neurontin was discontinued. Period. On 7-7-21, he underwent an MRI of the abdomen that showed no definite evidence of Budd-Chiari, C-H-I-A-R-I syndrome. Period was compared to a CAT scan of the abdomen and pelvis on 12-18-20, Britta showed hepatomegaly, but no focal lesion within the liver. Britta was no intra- or extrahepatic biliary dilatation. Britta was a 1 by 0.9 centimeter cystic lesion in the body of the pancreas, favored to be a side branch IPMN. Britta follow-up in 12 months with an MRI might be considered. Britta was a stable left adrenal gland lesion, favored to be an adenoma. Britta 9/20/22, we had x-rays of the knees. Britta left and right knee both showed osteoarthritis. Britta 9/21/22, he had a lumbar MRI. There was a posterior disc extrusion at L3-4 with moderate to severe spinal stenosis, semicolon, mild disc bulging at L5-S1 with small posterior annular tear / fissure. Period. At L4-5, there was mild disc bulging with mild central canal stenosis and mild bilateral foraminal narrowing. Period. Physical exam. General appearance, his blood pressure was 180 over 110, but he states that he did not take his medication today, but was advised to follow up with his primary care physician urgently. Period. Abdomen, there was a large ventral hernia. The rest of that is normal. Extremities up, there were multiple abrasions in both the upper and lower extremities that he attributed to his puppy. Period. His pulse was approximately 80 beats per minute. Period. Extremities upper, there was swelling of the right elbow bursa, but no other bony or soft tissue abnormalities. Extremities lower, his right ankle turned medially and had decreased range of motion. Period. There was trace reflex at the right patella and 1+ at the left. Period. Achilles reflexes were 2+ bilaterally. Period. He had stocking glove, subjective sensory loss to soft touch. Period. The rest of that is normal, spine cervical. Active extension was 40 degrees and left rotation to 60 degrees. Period. Right rotation, bilateral side bending and flexion were full. Thoracic, normal macro, lumbosacral. He ambulated with a broad gait and short steps without a walker. Period. He was able to walk on his heels and toes with support. Period. He changed position slowly and was able to squat to 15 degrees and rise. Period. He sat comfortably at 90 degrees lumbar flexion, but actively flexed to 30 degrees and side bent left to 20 degrees. Period. Right side bending, extension and bilateral rotation were full. The rest of this is normal impressions. On 6/1/23, Edward Soldin's chair in which he was sitting broke and he fell on his back and head. Period. He was seen at the emergency room mainland campus. Period. He underwent numerous diagnostic studies and diagnosed with an acute subdural hematoma. Period. He was then transferred to the city campus of this same hospital. Period. He remained there through 6/3/23. Period. He then was seen at Pivot on site on 6/6/23. Period. He was evaluated neurosurgically by Dr. Del Soto, who noted the results of numerous diagnostic studies. Period. On 10/25/23, his headaches were mostly resolved, and he had completed therapy and returned to work. Period. Dr. Del Soto discharged him from care at maximum medical improvement. Period. A paragraph, however, he presented to Shaw Memorial Hospital again on 11/21/23 for dizziness and was admitted through 11/23/23. Period. I had been advised he was involved in a motor vehicle accident on 5/28/12 and treated at Atlantic Regional Medical Center for pain in his lower back and right front chest. Period. He was seen at Shaw Memorial Hospital on 9/19/22, where he underwent lumbar x-rays and was diagnosed with mild degenerative spondylosis. Period. He had been treating with his primary physician named Dr. CADACIO for his low back. Pritter is admitted to the hospital on 9/20/22 for severe low back pain. Pritter had a cardiac consultation. He did undergo a lumbar MRI on 9/21/22. Pritter was also treated by Relievus pain medicine beginning 10/5/22 and was diagnosed with lumbar radiculopathy, common lumbar spinal stenosis, and muscle spasm. Period. New paragraph, the current examination found him with an abbreviated neurologic exam to be negative. Paired tandem gait and standing on one foot was not tested. Period. Doing multiple abrasions on both the upper and lower extremities, he attributed to a puppy. Period. He was extremely obese and had variable mobility about the lumbar spine. Period. He walked with a broad, short stepping gait, but no walker. Period. He was able to squat to 15 degrees and rise. Period. He had decreased reflexes more so on the right patella than the left, probably consistent with his body habitus. But he also had stocking glove, sensory loss to soft touch in both lower extremities, consistent with his known neuropathy from diabetes. Period, new paragraph. There is 5% permanent partial total disability referable to the head. Period. He has 0% permanent partial disability at the lower back relative to the subject event. Period. He did sustain a lumbar contusion and sprain with clinical radiculopathy afterwards. Period. However, diagnostic studies did not show any substantive objective progression for the worse to a material degree compared to those done only shortly before the subject incident. Period. And that is the end.